You are listening to the Horizons Church podcast.
Greetings, salutations, and hello.
Hello, hello, and greetings to you, Josiah.
How's it going, Ethan?
It's going pretty well. I feel the weather turning, the temperatures.
Yes.
They're warming.
Yes. Oh, thanks be to God. Truly. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil.
Well, I've enjoyed many days recently on my back porch enjoying the air.
It's
been truly a delight.
It has been. I was going to say I mowed my lawn for the first time, but I didn't mow it. Riley, my neighbor, I hired him to mow it again.
Excellent supporting.
He mowed it, and it. There's something about that first mow of the season.
Yeah.
The smell of fresh cut grass.
Mm-hmm.
I started pulling weeds out of my boxwood beds and flower beds.
Oh, nice.
Getting the fire pit all ready for some spring fires. Yeah.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff. I love spring. Things are turning green again.
They are. Yes, they are.
It gives such hope to the heart.
I'm not raking dead sticks in my backyard.
Mm.
I'm mowing through freshly cut clippings of grass. It smells wonderful.
Mm, yes.
Great.
Excellent. Indeed. These are the things that cheer men's souls.
It's great.
Yes, yes. Well, everything else is well.
Everything is stupendous.
Stupendous.
Truly, indeed.
Yeah. You know, some of the listeners on the podcast may not know the big news.
That's true.
The big news.
The biggest
news. You
ought
to tell the big news.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was just a mere few days ago, about a week and change, that I became an engaged man.
Yay! Woo-hoo! Cheering sound! Yeah! Applause!
It was delightful. Honestly, better than I could have hoped for. Better than I could have prayed for.
Mm.
It was just delightful. We recreated our first date. And there's this little walking path right outside the restaurant. I'm like, this is it. This is the plan. I have no other. This is really the best idea I've ever come up with, possibly in my life. Please work. I'm like, literally, I'm praying for the rain to hold off. And we walk out onto the trail, cross the bridge, and like, behold, an ocean of cherry blossoms. I'm like, this is too good. This is actually too good to be true. Like, am I living in a simulation? Because this is like, all of the cheat codes are turned on. It was beautiful. It was really, really beautiful. And just a lovely, lovely time.
Yes. Well, it is wonderful news.
Yes,
he is engaged to be wed to Lady Sophia, Lady Wisdom herself.
Yes.
Even the Greek philosophers would be like, yes. I don't know. That's great. Well, it's wonderful. Yeah. Everybody's thrilled.
Yeah.
Yes. His prayers were answered. There was no rain.
Mm.
Cherry blossoms abounded. It was great.
That it was truly a gift.
It's beautiful. And I'll tell you what else can be a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Is when God answers prayers for other opportunities.
Oh,
different kinds of opportunities.
Whoa, what a segue.
Yes, whoa. There we go. Look at
I'm
that.
You very said, impressed.
You know, you did the, you said that I was praying for the rain not to come. And I thought, oh, well, there we have it. There's the there's the off ramp to the on ramp to the rampy ramp.
Yeah, that's exactly. Just as the philosopher
highway.
Said.
No, I was reminded recently in the book of Nehemiah of a sound and wonderful way of dealing with the things around us that break our hearts.
Mm.
Because I think if we're looking around, we're paying attention, there are any number of things that do break our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, things that are, you know, we may not have ever really thought through that deeply, but if someone asked you, what is it that breaks your heart?
Yeah.
There's something, hopefully, probably, I'm going to guess, that does that. And it can be easy to deal with that in actually unhelpful and unhealthy and unchristian ways.
Very true.
And so we are here to discuss briefly on the podcast a good way to do that, a wonderful way. And of course, we see it here in Nehemiah.
Mm.
And just so you're clear in the background, real quick, in case we'd forgotten, Nehemiah was a Jew who served the Persian king Artaxerxes in the mid-400s BC. So this is after the Jews have been exiled.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great situation to be in if you're a Jew.
No.
Not great. At this point, Nehemiah's home city of Jerusalem had been lying in ruins for the better part of a century.
Oh, that
pretty tough.
That is a minute.
Yeah, pretty tough. Life for the people of God looked as bleak as it had ever looked, basically, since they had inherited the promised land.
Mm.
And so the average Jew would have looked at the state of Israel and probably felt the same way we feel when we look at the state of the world around us. You know, it'd be tempting to think all's lost. So let's just wait out the vindication of God. Let's just pray, you know, come quickly, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, which is a great prayer, by the way. That's I pray that he comes quickly, too. If he came back today, I would be thrilled. I would love that. Would love it. But that's not the only prayer we are to pray. And that wasn't how Nehemiah conducted himself. And I think his example gives us some good guidance on how we should conduct ourselves in these sorts of moments in our own lives. So his story in particular begins in the city of Susa, which is the capital there, because he's the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. And the story kind of begins when certain men from Judah who had gone back to Jerusalem came to visit him. And so, of course, he naturally asks how things are going in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Because by this point, actually, two waves of exiles had returned to the city. So Artaxerxes, he's allowed some of these folks to go back. And so you think two waves have gone back, you're expecting to hear good news at this point.
You would think.
Like, you've had opportunity to
yeah.
set some things, at least going in a good direction, if mm-hmm. not settling things.
Right.
Instead, unfortunately, what he heard so broke his heart that he responded with weeping. He responded with tears.
Mm.
Because what these men informed him was that the remnant who had gone back to Jerusalem were in great trouble, the wall of the city was still broken down, and the gates had been destroyed by fire. So in short, the people and the city were still in ruins.
Yeah.
Pretty, yeah, not good.
It's quite a far cry from anything he expected. It's not
yes.
even it's not even a report of like business as usual.
Yeah.
It's mid.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's a total catastrophe.
Call this the disaster artist or something. This is these guys are so bad. But even in light of all that, and in spite of his tears, Nehemiah didn't just throw himself a pity party, right? Which would be the easy thing to do.
I probably would.
I mean, that's me. I'm like, well, it's just, there's nothing can be done. All is lost.
Yeah.
That same response. Instead, for Nehemiah, his tears led to prayer, which is a great thing to do when that happens, is to go to prayer. And specifically, he confessed his sins and the sins of his people. He asked God for mercy and pardon. And then here's the real kicker, the real je ne sais quoi of this of this moment, as it were. He then asked God to give him an opportunity to do something about the desolation of Jerusalem.
Mm.
Because if God had made it possible for anyone to do something, it was him, because he had direct access to the king of Persia. I mean, the cupbearer was a guy who's, I mean, he's literally drinking the king's wine before the king drinks it.
Yeah.
To make sure he's not going to get poisoned. So he only needed God to orchestrate a moment for him to make a request of the king. Really, that's all he needed.
Mm.
And so here's what we read in Nehemiah 1:11 in his prayer. He says, "Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man, the king." I was cupbearer to the king.
Yeah.
That little clarifier there.
Gotta say, though, he might have access to the king and all, but like, I don't picture his position as one of influence. I mean, important in service, but not in person.
You know,
like, emphasis yes. on the servant.
Yeah, he used that word several times in that prayer.
Why should the king consider you at all?
Yeah.
So I think the request was a pretty bold move. And then on top of that, super appreciate that he cares. He cares a lot. That's great. He wants to do something. What's he qualified to do?
Yeah.
You know, organizational skills, leadership skills. What does he bring to the table? He's just a man that cares a lot. Which I gotta say, knowing the scope of the story really makes it a whole lot better. Like, it's like, makes it all the more impressive. But I think it, like, when I look at this request, I'm like, dude, you came at this with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, right, right. And exactly to your point, it's not like the cupbearer's a legislator or like,
yeah.
he's not one of the kings, you know, like, oh, he's in his inner ring of counselors.
Exactly.
But he does have regular face-to-face interaction.
And that's probably pretty rare for
which
many.
Which is a unique, yeah, very unique role. And to your point, what we're going to see later, at least if you keep reading it, we're mm-hmm. not going to get into this passage itself, but later when he actually makes his request
mm-hmm.
of the king, he is scared.
I would be too, for sure.
You know, like, this is...
He could kill you
yeah,
right there.
It's not something that you just go do. It's not something where you're like, oh yeah, this would be great. So, yeah, you're exactly right. You know, there's emphasis on the servant piece, not really one of influence. You're not exactly the kind of guy who it would be a normal thing just to go make a request like this.
Yeah.
So that just means, exactly to your points, Nehemiah has to depend upon God to grant the favor of the king, because the king's word is law.
Yeah.
Which is why he's praying about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if the king isn't feeling favorable toward Nehemiah, he's not going anywhere or doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, he could get himself into trouble for what we see later is his face looks sad.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh no. Oh, uh-oh.
Like, sorry, your face looks sad? It's about to look dead. You know?
Yes, you're right. And all those things that would make me, personally, extremely reticent to even think about, even praying about it. Like, it's like, no. You know, like, I just, this is off the table. Like, not even an option. Nehemiah does not resign himself to a despairing fatalism about any of this. Mm-hmm. Instead, he does what we should do in these kinds of moments, which is he prays boldly to the God of heaven and asks him to orchestrate an opportunity for him to meet that need, you know, to reverse the curse in this particular part of the world. And that's, I think, a helpful reminder, because even when we can't do anything else, like supposing the king had just said, well, no, and I'm not going to kill you, but like, just no, not right now.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing we can always do is pray to the God of heaven. Like, we can always do that, because what appears impossible to men is possible for God. And as Proverbs 21:1 says, which Nehemiah would have been familiar with, even the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He can turn it wherever he will. And so, in short, we should do as Nehemiah did and pray that God would orchestrate opportunities for us to do something about what breaks our hearts. Because, again, to a point you made, we may not feel like we are properly resourced or equipped right now to do something about the things that break our hearts, but typically the things that do cause us to weep, that make us feel that way, normally is telling us something about what maybe God is burdening us with and calling us to do, right? Like, that can be a signpost of that.
Right.
And apart from him actually giving you the opportunity, every opportunity we have ultimately has to come from the hand of the Lord, right? So it just makes sense that we would ask God in prayer to orchestrate opportunities for us to do something, especially because the things that break our hearts typically are not things, again, if it's a really serious thing, you're not going to be able, you know, like, you're probably not going to have the resources for what you need. You have to have his help.
Yeah.
And he loves to do that. And on that point, on that note, some among us may be wondering to ourselves, okay, I get that. But is it really necessary to ask God to orchestrate opportunities? Like, this is starting to sound really, you know, layered. Is it necessary to do that if he's provident and knows the beginning from the end anyway? Because that's something else that we're fond of talking about. Like, God knows the beginning from the end.
Yes.
You know, like, so what's the point in asking? And this question reminds me of a moment in a series of books you've probably not heard of, written by an obscure author you're probably not familiar with. The Chronicles of Narnia, written by C.S. Lewis.
No, I'm not sure I know that name. Was he writing The Coattails of Tolkien? I don't think I recall. Not in the shadow of Tolkien, no.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it's, you know, who could say? Who could say? But, yes, particularly in the book The Magician's Nephew.
I actually have read that one.
Oh, yes, it's a great one. I mean, they're all great, but, you know, I'm here to affirm and rejoice at that. So in The Magician's Nephew, the great lion Aslan sends a young boy named Diggory and a young girl named Polly on an errand, along with a talking flying horse named Fledge.
Love all of those statements.
Yeah, great. It's wonderful. And so at one point during their journey, they stop and take a rest because, you know, they're tired and most importantly, hungry. And so they settle down on a nice plain of grass. And of course, Fledge the horse starts chomping away at the grass because that's what horses do. Meanwhile, Diggory and Polly, who are not horses, but are human children, realize that they've not brought any food with them. And so Diggory complains, well, I do think someone might have arranged about our meals. Trying to do a little English.
That's pretty good. I bought it.
You know, he's English there, right?
I like it.
Yeah. So, of course, that happens. And Fledge responds, you know, I'm sure Aslan would have if you'd asked him. To which, you know, of course, Polly astutely says, wouldn't he know without being asked? Because he's Aslan, you know, he's like, he's the creator. He's in that book, they had actually just literally witnessed him create Narnia by sending it into existence.
You'd think he would create some meals.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you'd think he'd know that, right? Like, he's the creator. He's the Lord. And so it's like, wouldn't he know without being asked? Wouldn't he just, you know, he sent us on this errand, give us some food. And that is when Fledge replies with what I think is an extremely insightful remark. I've no doubt he would, but I have a sort of idea he likes to be asked.
That's really genuinely very touching.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
Isn't that just, you know, so like you take that over and I think that's a biblical dynamic there at work, because yes, God is provident over all things. He's the Lord. He's the creator. He does know the end from the beginning, but he has decided in a mystery, in all of his power and wisdom, to make my asking and your asking part of how he brings his plan and his purposes to pass in our world, you know, which that's why we ask him to orchestrate opportunities for us to reverse the curse. Mm. Because I think it's safe to say he likes to be asked. You know, it encourages our faith. It makes him look awesome. I mean, Jesus himself said this. He said, ask and you will be given. James said, you have not because you ask not. And I think you can boil that all down to, in part, it's because he likes to be asked. He likes to be asked.
I think that right there is maybe one of the most confounding and yet beautiful things in Scripture.
Yes, yes, I agree. There's this line from an Auden poem that I love, and you know, you have to understand it correctly, and we don't have time to get into that, but he has this little stanza where he says, "What reverence is rightly paid to a divinity so odd, he lets the Adam whom he made perform the acts of God."
Oh, man, I love that
like,
so
that's
much.
That's good. Yeah. And that's his point, is like you get into this kind of, well, Tolkien again, like sub-creator, but then also beyond that, like you get to ask God. He likes to be asked, like exactly. Could you do these things?
Yeah.
And he wants you to do that.
Yeah.
He has made that part of the warp and woof of how he brings his purposes to pass in the world. So, you know, the simple encouragement today is ask, you know, ask. You know, I'd imagine there's a situation in your life right now that makes you feel the way Nehemiah felt when he was told that Jerusalem was in ruins. Whether, you know, that's someone you love who's far from God, or there's something going on in your workplace, or some need in your community that just seems insurmountable.
Yeah.
Well, ask God to orchestrate an opportunity for you to meet that need with the resources he's given to you. Or part of asking him to orchestrate an opportunity is, if I don't have what I need right now, I'm going to trust, give me what I need in the moment to do it. Hmm. Because that's how God has chosen to reverse the curse in this world, and how he's chosen to make his good news of salvation known. It's through us.
Yeah.
Why does he want to do it through us? You know, well, he's got some wise reason for that, that sometimes, well, most of the time, you know, escapes my ability to fathom knowing how we do things. But that's what he's chosen to do.
Yeah.
And so ask. Ask. That's what we're going to say. Not ask Jeeves. Y'all remember that?
Ooh.
Just a little throwback there for you. That is a real
hello
throwback.
90s.
Yeah. Like late 90s, you know, trying to get on your dial-up internet So don't want to ask Jeeves, you know.
No.
Could be really cheeky about it, you know. Don't ask Jeeves. Ask God,
ooh.
You know.
I thought you were going to play on the J and say Jesus.
Oh, that would have,
Better that you didn't.
That was, well, no, or worse that I didn't. I don't know. Well, anyway, there you have it. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you found that encouraging at all, and you want to leave us an honest 5-star review on the Apple Podcast platform, you know, did I just ask for it? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe I did.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Perhaps. But if you have any questions on this or any other topic, you can feel free to ask at podcast@horizonchurch.net. You can just email that away there. So we'd be happy to try and do our best to answer that if we can. So thank you, as always, for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you.